Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday. It's January 27th, 2016, and I'm standing up. It's a kind of like a lame as
I didn't know you had legs.
Yeah, you only knew me from like the waist up.
Only the waist up. I thought maybe I didn't know.
We have Marianne Offenstein.
They're nice legs. I mean, it's amazing. Hey, he's walking. There's been a healing today.
Wait, do you notice what I have on? You gave me the shirt.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
Do you notice this, Marianne?
Yes.
My Superman outfit?
Yes, I see that.
I'm incognito.
What am I supposed to say about that?
I thought you were working on that in therapy.
And I have the shirt over it, so it's like the Clark Kent. You take this off, there's the Superman. I'm back into my racquetball and some routine. And so this was one of the shirts in the locker. And anyway, so I brought it home and have it on today because we're having a superpower day today with Marianne Offenstein at the controls. I think you're the only other one that has done this. You did it one other time
yes,
or two
I did.
Other times.
Once or twice, yeah.
So I'm over here in the corner. The lighting's a little different here. I kind of feel like I'm pushed
away into
the corner.
He looks a little lost, don't you think, Jason?
I think he does.
I'm lost.
I'm realizing why this is only the first time this has ever happened.
Hey, I'm only lost because of our prior conversation with all this talk about coffees. You know, it's like a fish out of water. You two are like, oh, have you tasted this brand? Oh, you have to sample this. Oh, it's wonderful. And I'm like,
Columbia Roastery, Michigan, what was it, Michigan Cherry?
Michigan Cherry.
All right. And where'd you get that at?
They had it at Cafe. I don't know how you say it. K-A-F-F-E-E at the little coffee shop in the IGA. So I don't know if it's Cafe or Cafe.
Oh, well,
I'm not really sure.
Know.
Yeah, I don't know. This is what I know is that the coffee was good and I drank a bunch of it.
Well, you know, if you get me started on Columbia Roastery and Mark Harriet, I'll just talk the whole time.
Yeah, we gave him some good shout-outs on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. We were talking about all the various sponsors and people that are helping out in various ways. And, yeah, Mark, at that roastery, I think you even made a comment on Tuesday about you would even sleep. She would lay near the bean bags and just sleep there overnight.
Sure.
It smelled so good.
Yeah, that'd be great. Sweet dreams.
Hey, I want to point out something to both of you. Let's see, I brought a couple things in the corner here. How do you like this for a license plate? This is going to go on the Great News Radio pickup truck that we have. Huh? I'll post this today for everyone to see.
One listen?
I listen.
Oh,
can
I
you kind of get it? Come on, you guys. I listen. It's like a number one, but maybe I'll add a little thing so it looks more like
I don't
an
think
I.
You're supposed to draw on the license
yeah,
plate.
Yeah, I know. It's illegal. But
I think that's probably.
And then the listen, L-I-S-T-N.
That's good. That's
Holly
good.
Got that right off the bat.
I'm sure you're not supposed to draw on the license plate.
You don't draw on the license plate.
Yeah.
It get some
good.
Coffee.
Christian radio station. Manager in jail for
that's right drawing on license plates.
Anyway, so we have that, and then you've seen the version of the poster that'll be going out. In fact, I've been signing hundreds of thank you cards, and Mr. Deacon, that would be a picture too. We have our cat, one of our cats, at the window.
He's been sitting there watching me,
but he's been pawned to try to get in because those of you that have been down in the
I
studio,
thought he was a charismatic.
Yeah.
Oh, don't talk that way.
Anyways, he had his arms up in the air.
Thought
going,
he was worshiping.
No. Geez.
Look, there he goes again.
Stop it.
Hey, we need to get a picture of that, but he wants in.
You need
because,
to cut that whole conversation now.
Well, I feed my chickens through this window.
For those of you who are associated with PETA, we are not letting the cat in out of the cold until after we take his picture.
Yeah, we'll get a picture. We'll post this picture, too.
I can't believe this. I'm supposed to be learning the board, and we're taking pictures of the cat.
Yeah, look at this cat. This would
Jason
actually make a good video.
Jason is not even near the mic. He's taking pictures
do
of the cat.
Do a video of this. We can post that.
Do a video?
Yeah.
You sound like my kids.
Yeah,
do a video.
Oh, come on, we're losing the moment. Okay, he's back down.
Are you supposed to be talking about Acts or something?
Yeah. We got a spiritual. Okay, so this poster is going out. In fact, I've been signing hundreds of thank you notes for our listeners from last year. And so this will be sent out to all of them, inviting them to our big gala, extravaganza event, celebration, birthday party, 20th anniversary on April 7th. A lot of people have been calling in and registering online. So we're
You've
excited
lost
about
Jason,
that.
But continue on.
Oh, yeah. Well, we got to post this. So either Jason or my Facebook page, you'll see this. This is Mr. Deacon, named after the church deacon, so I could have church meetings here in the home. I have Mr. Deacon.
I did it in slow motion.
That's hilarious.
So we'll post that. There's somewhere around 8 o'clock we'll get that posted on our Facebook pages. But
based on your internet woes, don't make any promises.
Yeah, that's true.
8 o'clock next week.
Yeah, that's right.
8 o'clock
next week. Yeah, I've been fighting my internet here at home. So anyways, exciting times. If you were tuned in Monday or Tuesday, you heard this is like 3 days in a row for you, Marianne. She was a part of the Monday and Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. We talked about all the different preparations, business sponsors, things going on with the radio ministry, the desire for God to move us forward with a Great News Radio Event Center. We'll see how that comes together maybe in the next week or two as I have a couple more important meetings, but lots of things to pray about. So if you miss Monday or Tuesday's edition of Mark and Friends, they are archived at greatnewsradio.org under our archive programs link, and I think you'll be really blessed and informed and know specifically how to pray for various things that are happening. But I talked with Phil Shepherd yesterday because on Monday we launch into Founders Week, and I said, Phil, how do I get these live feeds again from the Moody Church in Chicago, and how do I program it? And so he walked me all through that yesterday, and we'll be good to go Monday night. It begins at 7 p.m., and then it'll be the morning sessions will be. Yeah, we've got to unlock the middle here. Yeah, our cat.
Mark, I want to give a disclaimer.
Yeah, here he comes.
I need to give a disclaimer. Mark's been up half the night.
Yeah. The internet woes and having to get out to the tower early. Anyway.
The cat's in, everybody.
Cat's in. Now the chickens are coming to the window. Do you want to do a secondary video? We have four chickens right up against the window. See, I feed the chickens right outside
the
window.
We'd like to welcome you to Animal Farm.
Yeah. So this is what happens when we have three in the studio.
Oh, gee. And one of us has had no sleep.
Yeah. So
don't give him an out like that because he's this way all the time.
He needs coffee.
Well, this is different. I'm standing now. So
this is it.
I'm wondering how this is going to be because I can use my hands differently.
I can turn this thing off.
Yeah. Or maybe I should sit back down there and then see what happens if you're up here. But we're training Marianne in another aspect of radio broadcasting. And so I know we've talked about your book and maybe recording that. So it can be what? Book on tape? What do they call that?
Will you guys be here?
Yeah.
Taking videos of the chickens.
Yeah. So we got to get you all trained up.
All
right. Founders Week begins on Monday. The Great News Radio 20th anniversary is a few months away, but the first 500 people that register online, that's the best way to do it. You can call in, but we would prefer you register online. The first 500 will be eligible to get one of our gift boxes that's loaded with all sorts of surprises and coupons and knickknacks and novelty items. So we'll have that all together for the first 500. So register online at greatnewsradio.org. So no response? You don't think that's going to be a really cool license plate?
It's very cool.
It's great.
I listen. Yeah.
It's good.
Then I'll have the frequencies.
Just don't draw on it.
That's what I was going to say.
Just don't draw. Well, yeah, but you should see that one as like an I listen.
You can think that way.
Sure. Sure. Nobody's going to think that it's one listener.
or the number one listener. I probably listen more.
Number one listener. There you go.
Yeah. Our number one listener, Mark.
Yeah. Or I listen more than anyone else.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. All right. So, hey, Jason, what's the Lord been teaching you lately?
Here, let's see if we can save it. Somehow. Yeah. Can we save it?
Go for it, Jason.
What's the Lord been teaching me lately? Oh, my gosh. It's endless. It's endless. What's he been teaching me lately? Well, I mean, it's always what have I recently been reading or studying or what have I been recently going through, you know, and what's been happening in terms of.
Oh, 1 second, a little technical thing. You never want those things to reach the top.
Okay. I got it. Keep on.
What has the Lord been teaching me lately? That's interesting. I mean, it really is just centering around what have I been reading? What season of life am I in? What season of life is my wife and my kids in? What season of life is the church in? And what season of life, I think, also uniquely is the culture in? And so with everything that's been happening, I know that this broadcast goes out on Wednesday morning. So on late Monday night, Tuesday, we saw that there was an indictment. Did you see that, Mark, for the gentleman who recorded the undercover videos for Planned Parenthood, that they have essentially dropped the charges against Planned Parenthood, but they have brought charges against this man and against this woman, and essentially they are trumped-up charges. But I think that right away what I did see, and this is maybe the positive and the negative of the Facebook and the social media kind of world, is that all of a sudden Christians like rose up, and not always the best of us, rose up and were angry and frustrated and irritated by what has happened. And it just was a reminder of the things that the Lord's been walking me through lately, in that how do we deal with these things? If the Apostle Paul got frustrated by everything that was frustrating at the time, we would never have had all the letters that he had. Mm-hmm. And we would never have them with such clarity and pointedness. I mean, Paul's letters are a demonstration to us that in the midst of all of these things, we have to find Christ. We have to keep our eyes on Christ. I love when, in Acts, when he goes into the place of all these idols. And he doesn't go, you know, well, there is not this, and there's not this, and there's not this. And he doesn't begin to point out how all of them are false and fake. And he doesn't, I mean, and it says it was a sea of idols. So it was hundreds of them. So he doesn't have 100 conversations about why this one is false, and that one is false, and that one is false, and that one is false. He simply goes and finds the one that nobody's talking about, the one that has not yet been named. And he tells them about this nameless God that they don't know. And so when we see culture failing and falling, when we see these kinds of things happening, it's proof that there is a God that they don't know. There's a God there that they don't have their hope in. And so I think we want to be very careful about how we react to things, because where is our hope supposed to be? The hymn writer would tell us that my hope is found in nothing less but Jesus Christ and his righteousness. The Bible tells us that hope does not disappoint because God has poured out his love. And so we have this measure of how our hope is supposed to react and how our hope is supposed to be. I said on Sunday morning during my sermon, I said that I believe that there's a great discipline of the Christian life that's largely been missed in the days that we live in. And I think that Paul alludes to this in a verse that I absolutely love. I would almost consider it a life verse, but 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. And here Paul is standing in the tension of what it means to live and do ministry in the middle of a crazy world. And he writes to Timothy, who's at the church in Ephesus, and Timothy is dealing with a lot of things. Ephesus was becoming a mess. There was a lot of unique struggles and trials. By the way, this is a place where, when we read in Acts, the gospel blew up. We spent the last number of weeks talking about Paul with the Ephesian elders and how they wept, and he said, I didn't hesitate to declare to you the whole counsel of God, and your blood is not on my hands. I can sleep at night because I've told you everything that there is to know about Jesus. And Ephesus now is just like we are, proclaiming the gospel but facing some very hard times. And so Paul writes this letter to Timothy, and he says in it, for this reason. And what's the reason? The reason, he says, for this reason. Well, that's one of the things, is the reason he's writing the letter to Timothy. The second thing is, for this reason, the reason is Jesus. We always say that at Christmas, right? Jesus is the reason for the season. But I'm sorry, Jesus is the reason for everything, not just the season. And so, for this reason, even though I suffer as I do, so Paul's saying, it's not easy, I suffer. There are hard times, there are difficulties. I am not ashamed. Meaning that there's no point where I look at the present struggles that I have and I wish I could get out of them. I know why they're happening. I understand it. I'm not ashamed of them. And by the way, shame in a Hebrew context is not simply that we feel shame, but it also is this thing that would hold us back from doing the thing that we're supposed to do. Somebody who is ashamed in that culture would not fulfill what it is that they're supposed to do. It would not confirm their calling. And so Paul says, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed upon, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. Paul says, I am convinced. And I believe that when Paul says he's convinced, that's his conviction. And his conviction is that there is a greater day that's going to come, and what he's taken, his faith, he's entrusted it into Jesus Christ. He's given it all to Jesus Christ. And he is convicted and convinced that he possesses a future day, that there's a promised future day that Paul possesses already because he's in Jesus Christ. And it's a day that Jesus has said will come. And so I think that we have this discipline that we're lacking, where we don't set our hope fully on the promises of Jesus, what Jesus said he would do. We love to read Revelation and go, well, I think I see this happening, and I think I see this happening, and I think I see this happening. But I wonder how many of us read that and we just kind of rest ourselves there and say, I know what's going to happen, and I know why, and I know how, and I know that it's coming. And I can rest there. I know that there will be a new heaven and there will be a new earth. I know that the bride and the spirit will say, come. I know that there will be a day when there will no longer be tears of weeping, any of that. I know there will come this day. You know, we want to rest too much in the problem and not in the solution. And the solution is Jesus Christ. He is the final solution. He is the solution of salvation that stands above all things. And so we have to put our hope there. lest we trip over all the other things that happen during the day, all the other things we hear.
And I'm thinking about on Monday's edition of Janet Parshall's program, In the Market, she had a person on about spiritual warfare and stuff, and he shared at one point, he said, people are looking toward the victory or wanting the victory. They have the victory.
Oh, that's great. You
have Jesus Christ in you, you've already won. You have the victory, and so we don't have to seek after the victory. We've already achieved it. I wouldn't say we've achieved it because of what the Lord has done. It's been achieved on our behalf because of Him, but that we already have it. We don't have to keep seeking the victory.
C.S. Lewis wrote in his book, The Screwtape Letters, he has a part in there where there's a senior demon and he's speaking to a junior demon. And he says to this, he says, one of our greatest allies at present is the church itself. I don't mean the church as we see her spread out through all of time and space, rooted in eternity, terrible as an army with banners. That, he says, I confess is a spectacle which makes our boldest of tempters uneasy. C.S. Lewis says, but unfortunately, that's quite invisible to the church now. Quite invisible to the church that across the span of history, the entire redemptive story makes Satan shudder in his boots. And by the way, maybe this is a point of application for us to talk about. Satan is real. For those of you who go, you know what, I don't know, I mean, demons and all that, I don't really know, it's real. There is a real enemy. Jesus himself talks about him. The book of Revelation says in chapter 12 that there will be this woman who gives birth. She's a metaphor, a shadow, a picture of Israel, and she'll give birth to a baby, and that baby is Jesus, and the red dragon will rise up, and he will see the baby being born, and he will try to persecute the baby, but God will take the woman, and he will bring her to a place that he has prepared in the wilderness for 1,260 or so days. Then the dragon will go and make war amongst the people of God. It's interesting. It says he will stand upon the sands of the sea. And when we read sands, what does that make us think of? It makes us think about when God took Abraham outside and he said, your offspring will be as numerous as the star and the sands of the shores. They will be as numerous as the sands. And so Satan comes and he attempts to tempt us and to put us into trials. But let me tell you something. There's something important that we have to understand about Satan, is that he is created. He is not the creator. He does not have the sovereign power of God. He's not omnipotent and omniscient. He's not all-knowing. He's not any of those things. He is limited power. Some people say, but what about Job chapter 2 where Satan comes and he talks to God? Notice if you read verse 7 there that Satan doesn't approach until God speaks to him. God allows him to speak because God is the one who is all-powerful. And Satan's day will come. There will come a day when we will attend the funeral for evil. But in this time right now, we need to remember as the people of God that evil ultimately, it exists and it is real, but ultimately evil has no power. It's fraudulent. There will come a day when evil's power will be revealed for what it is. And we'll say, why did I waste all the time? You know, it's really funny because when I preach out of Isaiah 59 and then into 60. But in 59 and verse 14, it says, justice has turned back the righteousness, and righteousness stands far away. For truth has stumbled in the public squares, and uprightness, that means honesty, the posture of honesty, uprightness cannot enter. As I read that after church and then in some other places, people said to me, they go, that's today. That's today. And I said, if that's today, my friends, then what I want you to understand is it's just but a scant five verses till we get to Isaiah 60, where God says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and a thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. That day is coming. That day is coming when every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And on that day, nobody's going to be going, oh, no, evil. Everybody is going to be going, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And in the interim, it is our job, friends, to rise and
praise
to shine
God.
And to show people God's glory, to proclaim his glory.
Rise and shine and give him the glory. What did you sing in church on Sunday? Hey, maybe I can get you to
everybody's
sing
prayer
song.
Life. Everybody's prayer life went way up. But I just closed my sermon on Sunday morning by saying that as I read Isaiah 60, particularly those opening verses that the Lord will arise and he will shine forth and those things, it made me think of the kid's song. The kid's song that says, rise and shine and give God the glory, glory. Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory, children of the Lord. Now, what I didn't know until I Googled it because I wanted to get those verses is that the song is much, much longer. And the song says that there was a floody, floody. Do we feel today like there's a floody, floody, and that it's getting a little muddy, muddy? But Noah, he had hope in a greater day, and because of that, he built an arky-arky out of strong cedar, barky-barky. And that place symbolized his hope in the Lord. It symbolized a place that the Lord had prepared for him, and yet it still rained for 40 long daisies, and it drove all the animals crazy. The animals are getting a little crazy around here, aren't they, friends? And Noah took a dovey-dovey, which is the symbol of hope, and there was a day when the sun, and I say it's S-O-N, sun, came up and dried out the landy-landy. And it says, this is the end of the story. This is the end of the story. Everything is hunky-dory-dory, children of the Lord. And then I close that message by saying this, is that maybe all that we've talked about is very difficult. Maybe it's awfully hard for you to look beyond evil, to see evil for what it is, and to see true hope in Jesus Christ alone. And maybe what you just need is a simple song, because sometimes these kids' songs are so powerful because they tell us a truth without giving us more than we can carry and hold. So maybe today all you need to do is to sing that there will come a day when everything will be hunky-dory-dory because Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, is at the end of the story. Hmm. And then as the Apostle John would close, children of the Lord.
Praise God.
Well, dear friend, has something that has been said maybe strung at your heart, or maybe it's awakened something in your mind to seek after the Lord Jesus Christ or to know that God can be known in a personal way? There's some trained folks that would love to talk to you about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a free call, and they're wonderful people, and they'll talk with you and answer your questions, pray with you. Just dial 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. But better yet, this Sunday, there's a lot of great churches throughout our areas, mm-hmm. a lot of wonderful pastors that literally are devoting their lives to proclaiming God's word, spreading his love, the good news message of the gospel. And I know they would appreciate helping you understand Jesus' love for you. So you can always call the station. We know a lot of great pastors. I know one right here in the room, Pastor Jason Schiffo. But if you need to call someone right now, that 800 number, it's a free call. Do that. 1-800-NEED-HIM.
And listen, friend, maybe you're the person who stumbled upon the station and you don't know who Jesus is. You were looking for the rock and roll station to the right or to the left, and you happened upon this. You heard something we were saying. It sounded funny, and you just decided to hang, and you heard this. But maybe you don't know who God is. Maybe you don't believe in who he is. Maybe you've struggled with who he is. But maybe in the same vein, you also are looking around, and you realize that things seem hopeless. Because I know a lot of people who don't believe in Jesus Christ right now who struggle with how hopeless things feel and how hopeless things look. And I want to challenge you to get beyond your disbelief and try a local church. Because you know what? The worst thing you can do is say that you didn't find hope there. But I'm going to tell you what, that if you show up at a local congregation on a Sunday morning, I believe that you will hear the message of hope preached in Jesus Christ, his life and his death and his resurrection. That message of hope, which the Bible says does not disappoint, because God has poured his love out. And maybe the difference between hopelessness and hope for you will be God pouring his love into your heart and filling the gap of what you were and what you can be.
And all of God's people said, all the three in this room,
Amen.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Offenstein, and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.